सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति
शान्ति शान्ति। Guruji, your family in Chennai is okay?
Yeah.
Where is there, do you know any organization which is sending stuff to Chennai?
No, I don't care. Okay. We'll chat verses 23 to 27.
Chapter 10. रुद्राणां शंकरश्चास्मि रुद्राणां शंकरश्चास्मि वित्तेषो यक्षरक्षसां वित्तेषो यक्षरक्षसां वसूनां पावकश्चास्मि वसूनां पावकश्चास्मि मेरुशिखरिणामहं मेरुशिखरिणामहं रुद्राणां शंकरश्चास्मि वित्तेषो यक्षरक्षसां वसूनां पावकश्चास्मि मेरुशिखरिणामहं पुरोदसां च मुख्यं मां पुरोदसां च मुख्यं मां वेद्यपार्थबृहस्पतिं वेद्यपार्थबृहस्पतिं सेनानीनामहं स्कन्दः सेनानीनामहं स्कन्दः सरसामस्मि सागरः सरसामस्मि सागरः पुरोदसां च मुख्यं मां वेत्ति पार्थ बृहस्पतिं सेनानीनामहं स्कन्दः सरसामस्मि सागरः महर्षीणां बृहुरहं महर्षीणां बृहुरहं गिरामस्म्येकमक्षरं गिरामस्म्येकमक्षरं यज्ञानां जपयज्ञोऽस्मि यज्ञानां जपयज्ञोऽस्मि स्थावराणां हिमालयः स्थावराणां हिमालयः महर्षीणां बृहुरहं गिरामस्म्येकमक्षरं यज्ञानां जपयज्ञोऽस्मि स्थावराणां हिमालयः अश्वत्थसर्ववृक्षाणाम् अश्वत्थसर्ववृक्षाणाम् देवर्षीणां च नारदः देवर्षीणां च नारदः गन्धर्वाणां चित्ररथः गन्धर्वाणां चित्ररथः सिद्धानां कपिलो मुनिः सिद्धानां कपिलो मुनिः अश्वत्थसर्ववृक्षाणां देवर्षीणां च नारदः गन्धर्वाणां चित्ररथः सिद्धानां कपिलो मुनिः उच्चैश्रवसमश्वानाम् उच्चैश्रवसमश्वानाम् वेद्धि मामृतोद्भवम् वेद्धि मामृतोद्भवम् ऐरावतं गजेन्द्राणाम् ऐरावतं गजेन्द्राणाम् नराणां च नराधिपम् नराणां च नराधिपम् उच्चैश्रवसमश्वानाम् वेद्धि मामृतोद्भवम् ऐरावतं गजेन्द्राणाम् नराणां च नराधिपम् Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna to elaborate on the Vibhuti. The chapter is entitled as Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti refers to the entire manifestation. Yoga refers to the state of Brahman before manifestation. So from the Vibhuti, one has to go to Yoga. You got to use the sight and get the insight. That's the idea here. You got to use the sight and get the insight. So Arjuna is asking for few vibhutis to be detailed, which would help him to go inward. Remember, the entire Gita is called as Yoga Shastra. Upanishads are also Yoga Shastra. In the sense, the Shastra that is helping you to unite with the origin. That is why it's called as Yoga Shastra. That which teaches you, protects you from the onslaught of Maya, so that you can get back and unite with the origin. When your thoughts run from you to the world outside, it's called yoga. When the same thoughts are sent backwards towards the divinity within, and you merge back to the divinity, it's called yoga. The yoga comes from the root yuj, which means to unite prakriti origin. So the whole idea here, the detailing is given by Lord Krishna to make Arjuna, who is generally extroverted, to turn inward. So first he says, I am the self of Buddha Kesha. Be alert, you are an alert person. Be alert and get to the self. The self within is the greatest vibhuti that I can talk about. That is seated in the heart of all beings. All beings refers to the beings at this dimension of the mind and also the subtler dimension of the mind, which includes the asuras and devas. So for all the beings, the self is the core, and the self is the beginning and the middle of all beings, and I am that self. And then he says, now he comes to the dimension mind and love, which is subtler to the dimension at which we are living now. So he says, he's talking about few devas and asuras now. He says, of the devas, of the adityas, there are 12 adityas, 11 rudras, and 8 vasus, and 2 sanat kumaras. All of them put together form the 33 primary devas. Of course, much more. See, it's like this, then one mass of light, which is colorless, passes through the prism, 7 gajavik color comes out. Similarly, the same Atma that functions through the mind expresses itself in various dimensions. So like I said, the dimension in which we are living now, compared to that, the beings that he is referring to, Aditya, Rudras, Vasus, they are the subtler dimension. So, which is also belonging to the mind. When we say Devas are gods, they are not God. God is beyond mind. Devas are at the realm of the mind. Only thing is, they are at the subtler dimension compared to the dimension in which we are. Okay, so of the Adityas, I am the... He is talking about a particular sun, which is Vishnu. I am the Vishnu of the 12 suns, referring to the 12 different months. Of that, I am Vishnu, the light spring, that which everything springs from Vishnu, the life and living principle. I am that. So he is turning you from living to life. See, I told you, the whole idea is to turn you inward. So of Aditya, I am Vishnu. From living, he is turning you to the very life source. And of the luminaries and the radiant sun, that which provides the vitality, don't run after the external things. Turn towards the self within. Of the Maruchis, I am Maruchi of Maruts, the cool breeze that is soothing to your heart, that makes you peaceful. Only in peace do you realize the self. And then of Asterisms, I am the moon. The inner moon is the mind. See, moon is the reflecting satellite. Natural satellite that reflects sun's light. So mind is that which reflects the Atma, right? So he is saying, I am the moon. In the night when you look up, the brightest that you see is the moon, and that am I. That which is the mind is also me. And then we've done up to 22, isn't it? In 22 he says, of Veda and Sama Veda. Sama Veda is very musical. Which is, music is nothing but arrangement of sound in a particular way. Right? You arrange the sound in a particular order, it becomes music. And when you arrange the sound in a particular order, the vibration brings about a change in your entire personality that takes you inward. So Sama Veda is not only full of information, knowledge, but it is also very musical. Chanting of it brings you to that perfect vibration with which the self within is expressed much better. Of gods I am Vasava, of the Devas I am Indra. The Lord who attains that state of lordship over the heaven after tremendous effort, and that is what is being appreciated here. Of the senses and the mind. What is he trying to do here when he says of the senses and the mind? He is trying to take you inward. Behind the senses is the mind, behind the mind is the consciousness. So then immediately he says, of living beings I am the consciousness. So basically from the seen to the seer. We are getting lost in the seen. He is asking us to move from the seen to the seer. Rather than getting impressed with what is seen, question as to what is making you see. Next verse.
Rudranam Shankarascasmi, Rudranam Shankarascasmi, Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam, Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam, Vasudam Pavakascasmi, Vasudam Pavakascasmi, Meru Shikarinamaham, Meru Shikarinamaham. Rudranam Shankarascasmi, Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasam, Vasudam Pavakascasmi, Meru Shikarinamaham.
And of Rudras I am Shankara. The 11 Rudras I am Shankara, the Lord of Destruction. See, death, the end, frightens. Here, he is looking at Shankara, the expression of destruction, also as the expression of divinity. I am not only Vishnu, I am also Shankara. The destruction. Destruction is what? Is actually help. You understand? There is life possible only if there is destruction. Otherwise there won't be any life possible. So Shankara am I, the one of the Rudras, I am that. Know me as Shankara. The destructive force also is me only. And through that destruction, life is maintained. The vibhuti is possible because of Shankara and Yama. Later on he is going to say I am Yama also. So, see, the thought of death, the thought of end frightens. Anybody talks about it, why are you talking about it auspiciously? You know? To be able to look at death also as divinity, to be reminded of divinity through death, which means that which is underlying beneath the modifications is the divinity. I am that. And then Vittesha of Yakshas and Rakshasas. Vittesha refers to Kubera. Kubera is the Lord of Wealth. Now, it's very interesting, he says that I am Kubera because now the buzzword everywhere, everybody talks about now, the news is Mark Zuckerberg has donated about 99% of his wealth. Now when you read that 99% of wealth has been donated, what do you understand from that? World thinks, compared to what he was before he donated, he has now become poorer. Isn't it? Because 99% of his wealth has been donated. Only 1% wealth he has. So has he become poorer or not? That's how the world looks at it. He's become poorer, 99% of his wealth is gone. Only 1% he has. Vedanta looks at him as 99% rich. is still only 1% poor. Socrates goes around the world, goes around the shopping mall during his days and comes back and says, I am amazed at all the things that man can live without. See, Vedanta explains this, Swami Ramananda explains this beautifully with the example of color, phenomenon of color. An object is known by the color that it reflects. Of the seven Vajrayana colors, the t-shirt you are wearing, red color, has reflected red and all the other colors it has absorbed. So it's known by the color it has reflected. When all the colors are absorbed, the cloth is known by the color black. When all the colors are reflected, the cloth is known by the color white. So you are rich by what you give, not by what you take. Beautifully Swami Ramananda explained this physics phenomenon and explained. So Ma Hrithabhaga is rich 99% now. He is able to live free of those that much wealth. Isn't it? Only that 1% is not able to still let go. Then he will become Muni Zuckerberg. Right? Just 1 more%. So in other words, you must have knowledge to see through the material wealth to rise above it. Or you must be filled with material wealth so much so that the material wealth is not on which your mind is preoccupied. See, when you lose a tooth, your tongue is constantly probing between those two teeth and trying to find that gap. Isn't it? So when you're poor, it's very difficult, unless and until you have extreme knowledge, for you to be free from the thought of wealth when you're poor. It's difficult. Isn't it? Very rarely you find a person in poverty is able to be free of thoughts of wealth. That is only possible if you have sharp intellect. So even in wealth, if your mind is still on riches, what does that show? What does that show?
That you are not intelligent.
That you are still poor. That's what it means. Your mind is still on riches. That means you are still poor. So you have to get to that state of vittesha where there is plenty of flesh around, that is the mind that is not preoccupied. Are you with me? So he takes that vibhuti. See, I have told you, everything is manifestation of prana. Then everything is nothing but vibhuti. But he chooses certain vibhutis to make sure that your mind turns inward. That's his idea. He is not interested in detailing the vibhuti. That is not his interest at all. If it is going to help you to turn inward, why not? So if you say, I am Shankara of the Rudra, then even in death, which is the greatest change, change always people get affected, insecure. Even in such a great change, if you can still maintain your peace, so that the consciousness awareness can express through you, then why not? Therefore he gives the
pointer. But I am Shankara of all the Rudras. I am Vittesha of all the Yakshas. So that the mind is free of the external wealth because it is now turned inward.
Then he says, of Vasus I am Pavaka. The fire god, the brightest, that which gives heat and light. It is through this heat and light that we sustain ourselves. So, of the Vasus, I am Pavaka, known as Anala. In the brightness of the light, everything becomes clear. It's due to the heat that you survive, temperature. A person dies, first thing that happens is
body goes cold.
You understand? So he says, I am that fire that sustains you. Again trying to take you inward. I am Meru of mountains. Now this Meru is a mythological mountain.
Don't look for Meru outside. The mythological mountain is talking about, which is even far superior than Himalayas. Himalayas is at the grander dimension. Meru is at the subtler dimension.
See, first of all, some of these pointers that he talks about, you have no clue of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras. You have no clue. I've mentioned this before, I'm giving you the same example. At the cost of being felt that I am repetitive, right? When you are traveling on the ocean in a boat, you have no clue of the world that is beneath the water surface.
You have no clue. You have so many other things that you are able to see, smell, taste, touch. But you have no idea about what is lying under the water. We are all traveling on the realm of mind. The moment you move from the sense level, which is the surface area of the mind, to the mind dimension, inward direction, you close your eyes and go inward, you will get into this world that Shri Krishna talks about. So of the mountains that you see in the inner dimension, I am the Meru.
Right? And then he is going to talk about Himalayas also. When he talks about Himalayas, he is talking about at the external level. Now when he talks about Meru, he is talking about the inner dimension, the immovable mountain,
which has its highest peak. I am that Meru, the immovable. In fact, even in all the movables, I am immovable. That's the problem that we don't see. When you are moving, you must see the immovable within. We've already done the fourth chapter. In fourth chapter, verse 18, he says, you must see the Atma in Anatma. Karta, Akarta, he talks about. He says, Akarta in Karta and Karta in Akarta.
Adi Shankara gives a beautiful example in Atma Bodha. He says, at night when you see clouds move, but you see as though moon is moving.
The clouds are moving, but it appears as though the moon is moving.
So he is giving an example of the immovable, which is the greatest of immovable at the mind dimension,
that is Meru. He says, I am that, meaning the real immovable is within you, not without. That doesn't move. You are lost in the movement. Get back to the immovable within.
That's the idea. Next.
పురోదసాంచ ముఖ్యం మాం వెద్దిపార్థ బృహస్పతిం సేనానీనామహం స్కందః సరసామస్మి సాగరః పురోదసాంచ ముఖ్యం మాం వెద్దిపార్థ బృహస్పతిం సేనానీనామహం స్కందః సరసామస్మి సాగరః.
And of the household priest,
Upaka Bhumi to be the chief Brihaspati of generals and Skanda of lakes and the ocean. Brihaspati is the lord of gods. The guru of gods, right? So he's saying, of the household priests, I am
Brihaspati. Earlier he said, I am Indra. Now Indra himself gets his knowledge from Brihaspati. So I am Brihaspati of the household priests, who even teaches the devas. Even devas without knowledge would be suffering. So it is the Brihaspati who gives the knowledge to the devas.
So he is talking about him who is full of wisdom. Even in Devaloka, they are also beings. So they are not Brahman. Even they require knowledge to get back to the self. So he is reminding that when he says, I am Brihaspati of the Devaloka. The Guru. Guru means that which dispels the ignorance, that which dispels the darkness is light, that which dispels the ignorance is knowledge. So it is Brihaspati who dispels the ignorance of the Devaloka, and I am that. He identifies with that and says, I am that. Get to that source, get to that knowledge. And then know me to be the chief of Brihaspati and of generals and Skanda. Skanda refers to Lord Subramanya, who is the general of Devas. Devas and Asuras fight. And of the Devas, the general is Skanda. What does he do? He destroys all the negative forces. The general, the chief of the army of Devas, I am that. Why? Because I remove all the negativities. When consciousness functions through you, all negativities are destroyed. You have to allow the consciousness to function through you. Like I told you before, in awareness you can't do anything negative. Try to gossip consciously. Try. You cannot gossip. Try to criticize somebody consciously. You cannot. Try to steal somebody else's property consciously. You cannot. Try to do anything negative consciously. Only in ignorance you will do. You can never do any destruction consciously. So he says, I am the Skanda, general of the army of the Devas, who destroys all the evil forces, and that of lakes and the ocean. What do you understand from this? Of lakes and the ocean.
I am of all the water bodies, I am the biggest water
body.
I am the best.
He is not interested in saying I am the best.
Take
it. He is trying to say that of the lakes and the ocean.
The most supreme,
the greatest reservoir of all reservoirs, right? And from that ocean all the reservoirs come. The water evaporates from ocean, pours down and gets collected as lakes. Finally, when the lakes fill, they go and join the rivers, and the rivers go and join the ocean. So all the lakes and the ocean. The biggest reservoir is within you. The greatest reservoir is
within you. But you are getting after the lakes of knowledge, Vedas, lakes of knowledge, Bhagavad Gita. But the real reservoir of knowledge is within you. That's the idea. From where does it originate and where does it end? Finally, all the reservoirs emanate from me. And finally, all the reservoirs end in me. I'm the greatest of all the reservoirs, which is within you, but you are looking for it outwards. Therefore he says, I am the ocean of all lakes.
Maharshinam Brihuraham, Maharshinam Brihuraham, Giramasmekam Aksharam, Giramasmekam Aksharam, Yajnanam Japa Yajnyosmi, Yajnanam Japa Yajnyosmi, Stavaranam Himalayaha, Stavaranam Himalayaha, Maharshinam Brihuraham, Giramasmekam Aksharam, Yajnanam Japa Yajnyosmi, Stavaranam Himalayaha.
Of the great sages, Maharishis, I am Brihu. Brihu is the one who gave us Brihu Samhita, which is the text of Jyotisha, the prediction of future.
Even today people never.
Yeah, Brihu Samhita. Prediction of the future. Now, Brihu is considered as the great because he is able to see the past, present and future. Beyond time. One who is able to go beyond time, one is able to see the future. That is what he is referring to. That which is beyond future is what? Brahma. So one who has gone beyond the past, present and future, one who knows the past, present and future, that which knows the past, present and future is a consciousness which is there in past, present and future. So when he says, I am Brihu, here I will be explaining to you this in the fourth chapter. When he says, Arjuna is asking, how are you saying you are the one who taught Vivas one?
Manu, Ikshvaku, and you are teaching me now? You are just born recently, I know your date of birth. How you could have taught Vivaswan? Arjuna asked this question if you remember. And Krishna says, I know all the past, present and future while you do not know. Right? Now what, that time I told you, what is future for you is present for him. This is something that we need to understand correctly. In time dimension, when you go higher and higher, from the lower dimension what appears as future is present for you. This example I have given to explain to you, what example was that? To explain this concept.
What appears as future to us is our present.
What appears to future to you now from this dimension, when you move in a higher dimension, to a higher dimension, it will be present.
Karma. Because of your karma.
Karma is explained with this. What example did I give to explain this concept? You are sitting now here and see, for example, there is this curtain, right? The entire range of curtain is present for me. Isn't it? I am seeing the entire range of curtain. Imagine an ant crawling from this end of the curtain on the floor. For that ant, the extreme end of the curtain on the other side, is it present or future?
Future.
Future. But for you?
This is the present.
Similarly, when you move in higher dimension in the time realm, in the mind realm, what appears as future for the people dimension who are at the lower dimension, it is present for them. So when you come to the realm of the self, which is beyond mind, all past, present and future is known to you. Are you with me? So that's what he's trying to say here. He's saying, Brihu I am because he is the one who is beyond future, who can predict the future, who's gone to that state. He's trying to remind you that. See, I told you, in all the vibhutis, he's only interested in pointing you to the yoga. That is why it's called as vibhuti yoga.
So when he says, I am Brihu, this is what he's trying to communicate. And then off speech, I am the monosyllable Om.
All the sounds emanate from this Bija mantra. Bija sound. Beyond this there are no sounds. I am that which encompasses all the sounds, from which all the sounds emanate, into which all the sounds dissolve. And that am I, that is Atma. The very Om represents the Brahman within. And of yajnas, I am japa yajna. This is very interesting. Of the yajnas, I am japa yajna. What is happening?
See, the biggest problem is, when he is pointing at a particular direction, there are two possibilities. One is, you look in the direction and see what he is trying to point.
Or you may get fascinated by the hand which is directing in that direction. Am I correct? One is you look in the direction and see what he is trying to point at. That is his interest. Or you may get stuck with the very pointer, the very pointing hand. A lot of people got stuck with the pointer.
And he says, later on he's going to say, Mathana Margashish.
So they get fascinated by this month, Margashish, which is from 15th, 16th of December till the middle of January. While that month has its own interesting significance, but people get stuck as if that is Brahman. Krishna said, you know, back home, I think many Hindus don't eat pigs, right? Because they believe Vishnu manifested as pig.
Oh, is that right?
You understand? They cannot eat. There are people, I'm not suggesting that you eat. I'm only trying to say how you get stuck to the pointer. Just to convey that point, that was my limited purpose. I'm not getting into the discussion of eating meat, beef is correct or pig is correct. I'm not getting into that at all. Now, all I'm trying to say is, you get stuck to the pointer. When he is not interested in that, he is only interested in trying to make you see the, in that direction. Which direction? Within. You are now looking without. He is trying to make you see within. So when he says, japana, sorry, yajnana, japa yajna. Tell us what's stuck with japa yajna. That is why I am making this point. Oh, see, Sri Krishna said japa yajna. Therefore, you lose the significance, you lose the science that he is trying to communicate through this. Why does he say yajnana, japa yajna? What is so great about japa?
It opens you to go inward when you keep repeating japa. When you keep repeating a japa, as I understand japa, you say the same things again and again and again. So you bring in your consciousness to focus, which should be within, like the Om. When you go with the Om with closed eyes, it gets you into a lot of different realms and then brings you within. And then you see nothing but Shunya.
That's basically concentration.
Concentration,
okay, I'll try to explain. I hope I'll be able to communicate successfully. Imagine you're traveling in the ocean, and certain places you see
the water is solidified, has become ice, right? And there you see some blocks of ice floating and some water also you see. Isn't it? You can see that, no? White block of ice floating on water. Ice is also water. But it is a solid water. Solid water. Correct? Similarly, self, which is consciousness, the purest form of energy, has become the grossest energy and has solidified as Lakshmi Narayan, the ego, Ami, Rita, etc. So through yajna, first of all, yajna itself means a bridge. The bridge between the solid form of ice and the liquid. Now you are thinking yourself to be separate from the total. So the technique yajna is the bridge that is trying to bridge which is laid down to connect the ego to the total. Okay. So when you arrange the sound in a particular order and chant, and repeat that, you are creating a certain vibration in your body, through which you are touching the subtler realms of your personality, the prana and the mind. And when you do that kind of vibration, slowly the inside solidified dissolves and you become one with the
water
or the consciousness. Are you with me? That is the greatest idea behind the japa yajna. Now you are doing japa like Kabir, you means people, layman. Kabir says, in the hand they have the beads. The beads are rolling. And the tongue is rolling, chanting the mantra. But the mind is rolling, thinking about senses. Going up, going down, kya ho raha hai? Will the GST be passed or not? Mind is rolling. Are you with me? So Kabir says,
माला तो करने के लिए ही तेरे मन मानी मनवा दो जो मुझे ठीक रहे या सुस मेरा ना है.
So what does it mean?
That means this is not the
that is not the japa yajna that is talking about. Krishna said japa yajna is the best. Therefore you are watching serial and chant japa yajna inside. You understand? So japa yajna means this is the significance. And every time you chant the japa, I already told you the science behind it. You only speak when you exhale. You cannot speak when you inhale. Can you say hello to me inhaling? You can't, right? So when you are saying hello, you are exhaling. So you arrange the sound in a particular way so that there is a long exhalation. When there is a long exhalation, the parasympathetic nervous system kicks in. When there is shortened exhalation, sympathetic nervous system kicks in. Whenever you are stressed, your amygdala hijacks your personality. When the amygdala hijacks your personality, the adrenaline secretes and cortisol starts secreting. And then emergency is declared. At times of emergency, what do? You conserve all the energy. You have shallow breathing. Sympathetic nervous system starts kicking in. There you cannot think long-term planning at all. Now, immediately, quickly, what has to be done? You know, see now in the television channels, especially the Indian television channels now are
mostly discussing about this flood situation in Chennai. And the initial few days, when the discussion was going on, some people tried to say, why is it happening? They said, no, let us discuss this later on. Now, why, how to prevent all these things? We'll discuss all these things later on. Now we are only primarily focusing on helping the people who are caught in the flood. It's like that, exactly like that. At times of emergency, now sympathetic nervous system kicks in. Now long-term planning, all that is not the time. Are you with me? Then you have to run. Emergency means you have to run. Isn't it? So therefore, you will be constantly running outward. When you are constantly running outward, the self within doesn't become evident. So if you want the self within to become evident, you have to become peaceful. Right? So through japa, you set the parasympathetic nervous system to kick in. And then slowly you quieten. That is why, in fact, in schools, teachers also try this method. They say whenever you are angry, right? They say, chant numbers backwards, loudly. 20, 19, then slowly you are, first of all, counting backwards means slowly awareness will set in.
Yeah.
Right? And as it is, they are made to loudly say the numbers. So then what happens is, slowly the parasympathetic nervous system kicks in, they become peaceful. In the peace, the self becomes evident. Thus the japa yajna constructs a beautiful bridge between the ego and the atma. Therefore they say japa yajna is the primest of all. In that sense, if you understand the science and then do japa in that sense. Are you with me? Not mechanically chanting. And when you do japa yajna, thus you attain the immovable self within, which is in the next pointer compared to Himalayas. Stavarana Himalaya. Of the immovable, I am Himalaya. You understand? Very interesting pointer follows. So japa yajna, yajna, all yajna, even the fire worship that you see outside, is a beautiful science to create that vibration. See, how you vibrate, accordingly you attract people and things. So the whole science that was developed in this country was to make sure that you and the environment vibrate in a certain frequency, which attracts the things and beings that are conducive for the self to become evident. That was the only idea. The Hindu Bharata Desha culture is to make the self evident in each and every being. That's all. What are you trying to grow? Culture means, you know, in lab is a culture test. Is there any growth? What are you trying to grow? Are you with me? Are you trying to grow the restlessness? Or are you trying to grow the inner vision? So the whole idea in the shastras is to make sure that this growth happens. Because the external growth, when that happens apparently, you start losing the peace. A person, when he starts running outward like a matchlock, he himself admits peace is lost. So yajna is a beautiful bridge that is being constructed. Now those who do the yajna, those who bring in priests to do the yajna, many of them don't understand this. What is the science? You do certain yajna, they say rain comes. What is that they are trying to do? See, they talk about artificial rain nowadays by sprinkling certain chemicals. Right? Then artificial rain comes. This is exactly what they did through that yajna. Through the inner and external
vibration, you bring about that congenial atmosphere for the rain to be attracted. In fact, when we chant in the beginning invocation for the Gita, Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Gunatu, in the end we say Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. That is also again the principle behind this is this. Right? You vibrate in a certain frequency commanding Shanti, then in the outside there will be Shanti. It is how you vibrate that things get attracted to you. So japa is a technique to make you vibrate in a particular frequency so that the solidified ego dissolves and the self within and you get connected permanently. Therefore he says, I am the japa yajna of all the yajnas. Then I reach the greatest of immovable, which is Atma. And that is referred to here as Himalayas. Because otherwise, oh Himalayas, then everybody will go to Himalayas. And because everybody goes to Himalayas, all sorts of things now you find in Himalayas. Isn't it? You go to Himalayas now, you go to Rishikesh. You have to go even further, otherwise you won't find a quiet place. Rishikesh is more bustling with activity. Isn't it? And all sorts of things are sold there. Because so many South Indians go there, masala dosa you get. In Rishikesh. And you go there. See, the thing is, even you go to Himalaya, then you lose it. See, by trying to get attached to the pointer per se. This is the nonsense that will happen, which is happening in all the religion, basically. That is what is happening in all the religion. People get stuck to the rituals mechanically. Krishna himself said, this is the Dujjapi. And some other master has to come and say, then you get stuck to that. Isn't it? Suddenly when Swami comes and says, that particular place, then everybody goes lost. Lord Buddha is supposed to have got realization under that Bodhi tree in, what is that place? Gaya, both there. All the fellows go to do meditation under both there, the tree. See, you go always, the mind is very tricky. What does the mind do? It tries to get attached to something like this, because only then it can survive. It's only interested in its survival. It doesn't want to lose itself. Krishna wants you to lose the mind. But mind will play havoc there also. It will try to use Krishna and get stuck to Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? So he says, of the Ajnanayam, Japa. So you've got to be careful. That's why I'm trying to emphasize on this. Because the tendency is there to get attracted to all these things. And then mechanically start doing that only. Because Krishna says, then you'll be quoting Krishna says, this Krishna says, this Krishna says. There are people who say, Veda says so, period. Krishna quotes them in the 42nd, 43rd, 44th verse of chapter 2. He studies that, he says, this is what Veda says. And then he 45 says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda.
The Vedas are also nothing but Traigunya Vishaya. Nistraigunyo Bhava. You have to go beyond the three gunas. Don't get stuck to Vedas also.
The problem is, either you get stuck to Bhagavad Gita or to Sri Krishna, or to the person who is teaching Bhagavad Gita. Oh, nicely you talk. Buddha said, don't worship any personality. And Buddha has worshipped the maximum. You go to all these shops, lying Buddha,
Only Buddha's head is there. Hansas of Buddha, you understand? Buddha is saying, do not worship any personality, which includes impossible.
But we get stuck to personalities. So in Vedanta Tradition book, Swamiji, in the very first chapter, role of Vedanta is there. The role of Vedanta is to pull man out of his infatuations to personalities and educate him on eternities. That's exactly what Sri Krishna is trying to do. Pull you out of your infatuation to the vibhuti and direct your attention towards the eternal within. So Vibhuti Yoga is a very important chapter. In fact, many people rush through this chapter, Vibhuti Yoga. Like the Rajdhani Express. Go through like fast. But all he's trying to do is get your unity back with the self. Get away from the infatuation to personalities and educate yourself on eternities. That is Japa Yajna. Verse 26. Ashwatha sarva vrikshana, ashwatha sarva vrikshana, devarshi namcha naradaha, devarshi namcha naradaha, gandharvanam chitraratha, gandharvanam chitraratha, siddhanam kapilomunihi, siddhanam kapilomunihi, ashwatha sarva vrikshana, devarshi namcha naradaha, gandharvanam chitraratha, siddhanam Kapilo Munihi, Ashwatha, people tree of all the trees.
Now, this is another problem. As I said, pointers you get stuck to. You forget the fact, what is the pointer?
You get stuck to the pointer. This is what they are doing. They are all worshipping people tree. Mechanically. Mechanically they are worshipping people tree. When he says, I am Ashwatha. This people tree has a very interesting significance.
Barring people tree, under any other tree, they tell you not to sleep at night. Why?
Barring people
tree. Barring, meaning excluding people tree.
It doesn't give up carbon dioxide.
Exactly. All other trees give carbon dioxide during
night.
People tree doesn't smell.
People tree gives oxygen during night also. So the Bodhi tree under which Sri Krishna, Lord Buddha meditated is one of the varieties of people tree. You understand? And that tree lives eternally. It's a variety of the same banyan tree variety. Lives eternally. Like that Brahman is
eternal. So that which is conscious, which is supposed to be more conscious. The interesting thing is, those who did research on, initially it was thought that plants do not have feelings. Feelings is expression of consciousness. Plants do not have feelings, but now science proves that plants have consciousness. And those who do research amongst the plants, they say the greatest of all the trees which have more consciousness is people tree. So idea is to point you to the consciousness. Again and again, he is trying to get you backwards. So don't go on hugging people tree, because Krishna said only people tree. Sitting under people tree, if you scheme and plan to destroy another, you could use that oxygen for that also. The idea is that consciousness. Right?
Ashwatha of all the trees.
Sarva Vrikshana. Of all the Vrikshas, I am Ashwatha.
Devarshinam Narada. Very, very interesting pointer. Narada is never serious.
He's never serious.
Never. Have you ever heard Narada being very serious? He's always serious. Isn't it? Playing amongst gods. Creates problems amongst gods and having fun. That is only possible for a person who is all the time chanting Narayana. In the sense, Lord,
when you hear Narada, all the time Narayana, right? In other words, is all the time attention is upon the self. When your attention is upon the waking state or waking mind, waker's mind, then the entire dream world will be tamasha for you. in the dream world, will you be serious? And you know it is dream. If you are serious, then you need some treatment. Isn't it? You know it's a dream. Will you be really affected? Will you be playful or not? Will the dream world become Leela? That's what he is trying to say. Narada, who was all the time chanting Narayana. It means in his mind all the time, Narayana, the life and living principle was there. Therefore in living, he was all the time playing pranks. Meaning for him, life becomes a Leela. For his life is very serious. But for Narada, life is a joke. So of the celestial stages, I am Narada. Then, of the Gandharvas, I am Chitrarada. Gandharvas are the celestial musicians. Of them, the best is Chitrarada. See, music, when you, for the matter, in anything, especially with music, when you become one with the Shruti, the music flows through you. The musician who performs the art, whatever form of art it may be, even the painter, the best form of painting comes out of you when the painter dies. Isn't it? When the painter dies, the painting, best painting comes. The painter is so alive, the painting will not be great. So of the musicians and Chitrarata, who is the best, which means what?
Involved
in the
self,
gone
in the self,
mixed
and merged
into the self. Merged in the self. As a result of which, through him, the art that comes through Chitrarata is the best because he is dissolving his ego maximum while in art. As a result of his divinity playing through you. That is why he said Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the celestial song. Celestial song means Bhagavan will sing through your apertures. The five senses, mind and intellect, the seven apertures in the flute. Like you are like a flute, you know. You are like a flute. Let it, hand it over with Krishna. So that through you, let the celestial song come. But you hold it. Therefore jarring note comes. So here he says, I am Chitrarata of Gandharva, the best musician, the best artist. He is the best artist. The artist was dead when the art expressed to him. Then what was there? Only divinity. If while painting, you are thinking about, would this painting get the award this year? How much would this painting be sold for? All these great painters and artists died of poverty. The people who perform Shakespeare's drama in theatre, they make more money than Shakespeare did. Shakespeare hardly did any, made any money. You understand? Because he was able to produce such great drama because the Shakespeare died when he wrote those dramas. So when he says Chitrarata of Gandharva is the greatest of artists, which means what? He was dead. What was there? Only Atma, divinity. So look there. Look at that. Be like him. He is trying to point out that vibhuti. Fascinating. You know. See, that is why one can never put a price tag to some of the greatest paintings. There is no price tag. Who can put a price tag? It's auction. Nobody can put a price tag. Why is Mahatma Gandhi's spectacle not being sold but auctioned? The man who was dead, only divinity was expressing through him, was using such an object, and that object itself cannot be put a price tag. What about that man?
What about the man's work? He was, that is why we call him Mahatmana. But the divinity expresses through him, because he diluted his ego so much.
Siddhanam Kapilo Munihi. Very, very interesting. Lord Krishna is called as Yogeshwara. Yoga path is there, another path is Samkhya. Kapila Muni, the one who gave Samkhya, is the knowledge path, Jnana Marga, where the distinction is made between the Purusha and Prakriti. In Yoga Marga, you have to put in a lot of effort. It is through effort that you raise the Kundalini and merge with the Sahasrara Chakra and all that. In Jnana Marga, that which is propagated by Kapila Muni, the main point that Kapila Muni says is, you are already Purusha. You are already the Self. There is no need to put in effort to get there.
And of all the greatest Siddhi, the real Siddhi, Siddhi means what?
Perfection.
Success. Of all the perfections, the greatest perfection is what? Greatest Siddhi is what? Becoming one with Self. And that is what Kapila Muni did. He became one with Self. And he declared, there is no need to put in any effort. Because effort is needed for you to go from the place where you are to a place where you are not. If you are already there, you don't need to put in any effort. No efforts will get you there. Do you mean? Then what is he trying to say? He is trying to say, you are already the Self. But you have forgotten it. All you need to do is remind yourself. Do you mean? It's like sometimes, you know, the tiger cub is lost. There is so much blood in Vandaloo Zoo in Chennai. Let's say due to such instances, the tiger and the tiger cub is separated. And let's say the tiger cub, you are bringing up in your house. There are fellows who bring up like that, you know. And you bring up the tiger cub in the house. Tiger thinks it's little big cat, that's all. It doesn't know the power of itself. So slowly when they get the tiger back to the forest, first they have to train the tiger. It is scared of getting into the jungle. Are you with me? Slowly when they train the tiger, the moment comes when the tiger understands its strength, then the trainer will have to flee. Are you with me? So this is exactly what he is trying to say. Siddhanam Kapilo Munihi. The Kapila Muni is one who says there is no need for you to put in any effort, man. There is Samkhya, there is Purusha, there is Prakriti. And knowing the difference between Purusha and Prakriti, you identify with Purusha. That is the main philosophy of Samkhya. Right? So, when he says, of the Siddhas, I am Kapila. What is he trying to say? The real perfection is what which is within you.
There is no perfection outside. If you try for perfection outside, you will fool yourself.
That is what is being communicated in the story between Akbar and Birbal. Akbar drew a line and told Birbal, shorten it without touching it. Reduce the, make it small without touching it. All he did was, Birbal did was, drew another bigger line, longer line. So that the line drawn by Akbar became small. Isn't it? There is no such thing as perfection outside. The perfection lies within you. See, again Sri Krishna is trying to get you backwards, inwards. The whole idea is going within. There is no way you are going to get to the divinity by going without. So through vibhuti you have to go to
yoga. But you get lost in the vibhuti itself.
ఉచ్చైశ్రవసమశ్వానః వేద్దిమామృతోద్భవం ఐరావతంగజేంద్రాణః నరాణాం చ నరాధిపం ఉచ్చైశ్రవసమశ్వానః వేద్దిమామృతోద్భవం ఐరావతంగజేంద్రాణః నరాణాం చ నరాధిపం. Of the horses know me as Uchai Shravas. Uchai Shravas is the horse that was born when the gods and goddesses churned the milky ocean. Right? When you churn the mind, that which is born is the what is referred here. When he says, see in the mythology, the gods and goddesses want to get Amrita. So they wanted to churn the milky ocean. Only gods cannot churn. So therefore, gods and asuras, devas and the asuras, they got together and they started churning the milky ocean. And when they were churning the milky ocean, first alhala, poison and all that came. Then slowly all these things came, many things came. One is Uchaishravas, and then Airavatam, elephant, all these things came. And then finally the Amrita came. Right? So, when you churn the mind with the good and bad qualities, and you churn deep inside lies the Atma, Amrita, which is beyond death. Mrita means death. Amrita means beyond death. Fine, you got to churn the mind. And when you churn the mind, do tapasya and go, that which is born, the purest forms are called the horses and the, sorry, Uchaishravas, horse and the Airavatam, elephant. So he is trying to tell you to churn your mind and go inward. Not to use the mind and acquire more and make the mind more solid. That is the idea of giving this pointer. Of horses know me as Uchaishravas, born of nectar, a worldly of a lordly elephant Airavata, and then he said, of the men, the king. What is this, of the men, the king?
Protector of all. The highest.
King is above the law. King is above the law. Are you with me? Men are subject to the law. Whereas king is above the law. King is the law. When you uphold the law and live according to the law, then you are a king. So, of the men, I am the king. Means, I am the law itself in this entire universe. Look at dharma itself as Bhagwan. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
మనసేంద్రియైవ బుద్ధ్యాత్మనా వా ప్రకృతే స్వభావా కరోమి అధ్య సకలం పరస్మై నారాయణాయేతి సమర్పయామి.
So next week we'll meet on Thursday.